Okay, on to this fascinating story that I've been following for a while, and there's so many twists and turns. It's remarkable. So let me give you some of the background. Let me read you a couple of the headlines right now. The search for Forrest Fenn's famous $1 million treasure chest has finally come to an end after a decade. CNN, as soon as Forrest Fenn announced that his treasure was found earlier this month, rumors swirled about whether it had really been found or if it was a hoax. He tried to put some of that to rest by unveiling the first photos of the discovered treasure. So he did that. That's all happened in the last week or so. So after 10 years being hidden there and thousands of people searching for it, in fact, there are stories about people dying trying to find this hidden treasure in the Rocky Mountains. It's a very eccentric art collector named Forrest Fenn that buried it. Years ago, he put a very cryptic poem in his memoir that would lead you to it if you chose to try to find it. But it's not at all simple. People spent years and years searching for this treasure. One of the clues, it was under a canopy of stars in the lush forested vegetation of the Rocky Mountains and had not moved from the spot where I hid it more than 10 years ago. That wasn't the poem. That was something 89-year-old Mr. Fenn said himself on his website. Part of the deal here was that every clue, everything he said had to be public, so he never gave any private talks or interviews or anything like that. But it was a bronze chest buried in the mountains, filled with gold nuggets, coins, sapphires, diamonds, pre-Columbian artifacts, and other items. And I guess the estimation was over $1 million it was worth. So fast forward to about a week ago, and the announcement was made by Forrest Fenn himself that a man back east had won that treasure, which found that treasure. He had found it after years of looking. A man back east. And that's all we knew about him. He said that he wanted to be anonymous and that Forrest Fenn was going to honor that. That's up to him. He wants to be anonymous. It's anonymous. But no one knew who it was. Well, the lead solver in all of this, meaning the person who was closest to the treasure, finding it, based on Forrest Fenn's own remarks, was Barb Anderson. She's an attorney in Rogers Park. And she then sued because she said, wait a minute, that treasure rightfully belongs to me. And she was very concerned about it because she said she had been in the location where it was, the general location, a very small location about where it could be found, and that she would have known if someone had come in or out of that area. She also mentioned to us she had been hacked by somebody, that there was this messages and text messages she showed us, call logs of someone going back and forth with her, trying to maybe dig into her solve. So there was that out there too, her clues, what she had discovered. But now there's some new twists and turns. And so I want to get to Barb Anderson. She's on the phone with us now. And I think you're back from the Rockies now. You're back in Chicago, Barb, is that right?
I am. I'm back in Rogers Park for now.
Okay. Where are you now? Because last we talked to you, you were still out there. You felt as if that this might be just part of the treasure hunt, that you still were on the hunt for it at that moment. You thought, well, maybe this is some cryptic clue, a man back east, and that no one has won this, and you were still on the hunt for it. Where are you now?
Well, you know what? I sent some emails to their attorney who represented Forrest and to Forrest as well while I was still out there, basically saying, you know, I can't keep car camping. If this was a hoax and it still is out there, you know, it would be nice to know that. But otherwise, I need to go back and, you know, check on my condo, which is for sale. So let me know. I'm leaving town. And I said, I'm leaving town tomorrow morning. And I didn't hear anything. So then I hit the road. Mm-hmm. So I'll just have to wait either for Forrest to come forward and say something or for the litigation to get going.
All right. So he hasn't said anything to that. Nothing.
No. Right. I mean, I'm still trying to stay optimistic. You know, there's still some fun stuff that's still out there, and the allegations of photoshopping and some funny things that kind of ring true to me in the last couple of announcements. The canopy of stars means something to me. So there's little things. The Babe Ruth picture and the treasure means something to me. The stick means something to me. The elephant photoshopped in the trunk means something to me. So anyway, I'm trying to remain optimistic that maybe something fun is going on as opposed to something seedy.
And so are you talking about the photos of the actual treasure that Forrest Fenn is showing off, the treasure to prove that it is there?
Are there on the blogs, they're basically saying that there's photoshopped images in them And they're saying that there's, you can see like an outline of an elephant. There's a Babe Ruth picture with, by the way, the 151, which we've seen before, which should ring true to Chicago and Rogers Park. And we've seen a stick in there, and I won't tell you what I see of that. But anyway,
what's the Rogers Park and 151?
151 bus. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, and that happened once before where we saw 151 and something, and I made some funny emails back when that occurred. So
okay,
we'll see.
So then there's the whole idea that it might be a hoax, and then you've got two other parties coming forward to also sue and say they're mad that they spent thousands of their own dollars. These guys where are they? In Wyoming somewhere, I think? They say that
I can tell you it's for sure in New Mexico, and I could tell you why those suits are not right. I mean, number one, I'll tell you one answer real fast, which is Forrest had a hat, a goofy picture. If you type on the internet and you type Forrest Fenn Mildew, well, that was back in 2018 or 2017 when I figured out what state to start in. And if you zoom in on, he's basically saying, get the mildew off your brain. Well, if you zoom in on the hat on mildew, it's the shape of New Mexico.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Yeah. So he puts clues right in front of your face, but, you know, like in a subtle little way. And so anyway, that led me right away to New Mexico. And then I found the proper map to get me where I found the general location back in 2018.
And isn't that true that he identified you as the one who was the farthest along to solving the puzzle or the poem?
Well, he's never said my name in terms of, like, you know, announcement to anybody, but he and I have played, you know, he's never communicated with me privately, but he puts hints in the blogs about me, and I could give you certain illustrations of that. But, you know, that's his way of basically saying you're on the right track. Plus, when I was there in 2018, there were obvious clues at the general area that encouraged me to move on. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say what those were, but it was basically hitting you on the head that you found, you know, a huge spot in the book.
And were you sure that you got to the basic location of where it was? You just never got to the treasure?
Yeah, I mean, I knew back in the day in 2018 that I hit a crucial spot. I just couldn't tell whether it was at the time, but years have evolved since then, obviously. You know, if I couldn't tell, was I at step five? You know, were all nine clues going to have similar physical features there? And so it took me a couple more years to evolve the thought process as to where to go from there.
Mm-hmm. So do you still hold out hope that you're going to get the treasure, Barb?
I hope so. I mean, gosh, I can't. Oh, sorry, I'm outside.
Until you're back in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. You know, my house is pretty much vacant right now because I thought I was going to be moving to Santa Fe and I was trying to sell it. So it's kind of funny. Like, you know, do I sit outside and listen to the car sirens or sit inside and listen to a vacant echo?
Tough choice.
Yeah. So anyway, what was your question again? I hope I still get it?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that he would let someone cheat me out of it after all of my hard work. So I'm trying to remain optimistic that he knew something was going on and did something to protect me, or that this was, you know, that he knew. He had given plenty of clues to the public in what are called scrapbooks to help people catch up to me. And maybe he put a timeline, I'm hoping. You know, I'm trying to be naively optimistic. You know, maybe he put a timeline like, okay, June 1st or whatever, June, you know, is when I'm going to cap it because, you know, she's been wandering up and down. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think at this point.
All right, Barb, can you hang on just for a minute or two because there's some new information from a CBS News anchor who says he's got a really strong thought about what is actually going on here. So I want to circle back, explain that, and get your take on that in just a minute here. It's 2:17 on WGN. All right, back to the buried treasure, the tale of the buried treasure, allegedly found out in the Rocky Mountains. If you're just joining us, there's this hidden treasure, 10 years. People have been in search of it. It's an eccentric art dealer, an art collector from New Mexico named Forrest Fenn, who buried it there. allegedly, and then said, I suddenly have to put allegedlys in this story that I didn't think I did before, but he created a memoir, and in that memoir there was a poem that would lead the solver of that poem, this cryptic sort of puzzle, into to find the treasure. And it's worth over $1 million, and thousands of people over the years have tried to find it. And I'm on with Barb Anderson, who's actually suing because she, I think you believe that this treasure is rightfully yours. Is that saying too much, Barb? Is that true?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that anyone could have bypassed me in 3 years and gone to the specific spot where I was searching. You know, I would have seen them, and there's a limited, time of year you can go up there. And anyway, everything's just been very odd, including, the odd text messages. So, yeah, I want to know who found this and what was their solve.
Okay, so that's the other piece of it. When they announced that it's been found, it was, well, the guy wants to remain anonymous. We're only going to call him a man back east. That's what Forrest Fenn said, and he said, well, that was up to him. It's up to whoever wants to whoever solves it gets to choose if they want to be anonymous or not. And we thought it was over. Then fast forward, people said, well, wait a minute, that's not, come on. And people like you said, wait a minute, we would know. And so then he pictured himself with the treasure to prove that the treasure was there. People had questions about that, too, because they said, well, why does he still have the treasure? Wouldn't the person who got the treasure have the treasure? So everyone was worried about that. And then now you're saying there might even be clues in the treasure, and the hunt continues. Let me add one layer to this, as if we needed it, one more layer.
Yes.
Now there's news that a CBS News anchor says he doesn't believe that the treasure has been found. And here's why. His name is Tony. Tony DeCoppola, he's on CBS News this morning with Gail King. I like that show, actually. And he says that this. Okay, so he talks about, I interviewed him way back, well, not that far back, but several years ago, 8 years ago, when no one really knew about this. And I kind of gave him the exposure at the time he's working for Newsweek. He gave him the exposure to this that really got a lot more people interested. And he said at that time he shared several details with him, the art dealer did. And he said that he thinks that when people find the treasure, they'll find my bones.
Right.
But my bio will be inside, so at least they'll know who I was. So at the time, he was battling a bad diagnosis of kidney cancer, and he didn't have much chance of surviving, stage 4. So while he basically told Tony back then, this reporter, who's now a news anchor on CBS, that the bones will be with the treasure. So there's no way, he's not dead yet. So how could the bones be with the treasure? What do you make of that, Barb?
Well, I have a little shocker for you on that one.
Not another one.
So you've got a news release on that one. He was joking. Well, first of all, I have Forrest Fenn's bones. They are not his bones. They're not his own personal bones. They're animal bones. He was joking.
What?
And they're in a... So I saw that Tony thing, and I'll send you pictures just so you can verify me. But anyway, there were bones at the location site, as well as other things. And I won't tell you where they were, but anyway, that was a joke.
Well, I'm glad you're the one who's solving this, because my brain is hurting just trying to figure out the facts in this case. And it's and you've been spending years trying to find this treasure, and I do hope you get it, Barb. I do. And do you think that there's a likelihood that that will happen now? I know you're hopeful, but do you think that there's a game being played here?
I'm pretty sure that I was on camera, and I'm pretty sure that I was supposed to be the butt of the joke when you find the general location, because it's very funny what I had to do. So it's, to me, I keep saying it's like I'm in the middle of the Gong Show. So anyway, he was being tongue in cheek. He's very, very funny. And the bones were not his own personal bones. They were don't forget, he's an archaeologist. They were his collection, from his bone collection. They were not his bones. So when I heard the news, and I sent, there's an email to Forrest, I said, I have your bones, and then I put them in my storage locker, because you're supposed to leave them there. But when this all this weird stuff happened, I picked them up.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh!
So isn't that funny?
It's amazing what you're willing to do. And why is it that you are doing this and spending so much time doing it?
You know, I was going through a personal crisis, really. At the time in 2017, I was being attacked by my ex-husband in a very mean manner, which I can actually tell you in another thing about how you can tell.
Tell another story.
Yeah, that's another story. Anyway, so I was going through this, and I heard this on the television, and I said, oh my gosh, how fun that is, like something to take my mind off of the harassment that I was going through. And it just became an outlet for me. And then once you went there and said, oh my gosh, you found it, you know, then you can't stop at that point. And plus, Forrest has encouraged me over the years through his what are called the scrapbooks to keep going. You know, like, don't give up, you know, I mean, I must have been out there a million times at this point, a lot.
Yeah, I believe it. So, and you do that. You can do that because you're an attorney and you take time off?
Well, I've had to, it's been very difficult to do. I've had to juggle my court cases over the years that I basically put everything together in a very tight time frame, and then I run out and then I run back. So it's been very difficult to pull off.
All right.
And I ran out this time because courts are closed, or most of the courts are closed. I mean, I went in for one of my hearings. I was supposed to have a trial in May, and I went into like a restaurant to go do a Zoom conference with the judge because I was, you know, the computer's in the back of the car. So it's kind of funny.
It's life. It's life the way it is right now. Are you going to just wait now? Are you going to wait, or do you have steps you're going to take?
Well, I have to wait until Forrest files an appearance in the lawsuit, and I'm hoping that instead of that happening, maybe he's writing a book. Maybe he's taken, you know, maybe this is why he's going silent. That's what I'm kind of hoping he's doing, because there's a lot of funny material out there between him and me over the years. And that was, I was purposely like kind of a ham and kind of funny because I pictured good things to come out of this and people to enjoy the story. And I didn't mind being the butt of the joke. And so I was hamming it up out there in the middle of nowhere and taking funny selfies and doing funny jokes. So that's what I'm hoping he's doing. But we'll have to see.
We will see, and we'll stay tuned. And I hope you keep us updated here, because I have a fascination with this story now, thanks to you. And I just, I hope there's a great ending for you. I hope that happens, Barb.
I hope so. Well, I wanted to tell you just real fast about the book, if people are going back and rereading the book. Don't forget, Forrest Fenn in his own book tells you that he lies 15% of the time. Ooh. So if you go back and you read his book and you go and you read the scrapbooks, remember, look for the weirdest things, like what? You know, when you're reading the book and you say what? That's purposely jumping out at you for a reason. So go have fun with it if people go back and reread it.
All right, that's a little pro tip there.
Okay.
People want to get started.
Yeah,
thank you,
Barb. I'll send you a picture of Forrest Fenn's bones that I'm holding hostage right now.
Yeah, send us all your stuff. I mean, Pete and I have been looking through all this just with so much interest. It's like a fascination. So thank you, Barb,
yeah.
And
you're welcome.
Good luck.
You're welcome. Call me whenever. Okay, bye-bye.
Keep us posted. All right. I don't know what you make of that. Oh, my gosh. Steve Bertrand, that was more than that was even more than I thought would happen there.
I don't know what just happened.
I mean, this started out just like a little treasure hunt. I mean, you know, just something for adventurous to sort of occupy their time, get outdoors and have some fun. And 10 years later, look at it.
I mean, I need to read a written account of this whole thing about, you know, like her memoir or someone's memoir, because this is a book. This is like a Susie Orleans book, I think.
Or like a documentary, like the, what was that one with the big cats that made such a big deal?
I mean, Tiger
like
King?
This is Tiger King. There's so many fascinating characters. There are these like, Barb is a wonderful woman. You've got this eccentric art dealer. And I mean, so many others. It's just, we will revisit it too, because Barb's going to check in with us. And I don't think it's over for her.